have a message this morning that's a missions financial report for 2006. I gathered a couple scriptures out of Isaiah 66 that we read this past week. I'll confess to you that reading Isaiah and Jeremiah is not the most uplifting part of the scriptures for me. You know, I shared with you last week one of the challenges I have in the fall is being depressed, and reading all that gloom and doom really doesn't help a whole bunch. I have a disclaimer to give you at the beginning of this. I've never done one of these things on missions, never tried to explain to you how to do that. I've been in a number of business meetings when treasurers and financial people read through their reports, and at the end of it, I was hopelessly lost. I was just glad we moved on to coffee because they lost me totally. Any of you ever do that? When financial people try to tell you all this stuff that they're so smart about, you have absolutely no idea what's going on. Well, I tried to design something so that that would not be the impact and the effect or the result. But the result would be that you would actually see where and how well we're doing at the work of giving to our missions. Now, as I began that, I was looking at Isaiah 66 one day, and I was thinking, why should we invest in missions? Why should we put money into missionaries, into spreading the gospel? Our leader told us to, right? First and foremost, that's why. Jesus Christ said, go make disciples. Because you're captain, or in DJ's lieutenant, because your cadre tells you to do push-ups, you know what? You immediately do them, don't you? Because you're told to do it as a good submissive soldier, you do. Here's the second reason. The Lord will come with fire. He will ride on the wings of a storm. He will punish those he's angry with. By fire and sword, he will punish all people of the world he finds guilty. And many of them will be put to death. As we looked at that passage just a minute ago in 1 Timothy, that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, every individual on planet Earth that does not receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior is looking at eternal death. Now, eternal death is not a pretty thing. They will see dead bodies of those who have rebelled against me. The worms will eat them, will never die. The fire that burns them will never be put out. The sight of them will be disgusting to all people. This is a futuristic prophecy that many of us will see. We will literally see people that maggots eat endlessly. That fire burns them endlessly. When Bishop Ramsey was sitting in front of my fireplace a month ago this week on the 17th, he said, I really believe that everybody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus personally is going to hell. I really believe that. Remember? He's right. We go make disciples. We have missionaries because Jesus says go do it, number one. But number two, it is because we care about people. We don't want them to go through hell without Jesus. So why do we invest in missions? Because Jesus told us to, like you guys said, and because we love people. Because we love the Lord and we love people. Now, a couple weeks ago on July 30th, I gave you a mid-year report, and this is a review. What does the Bible say about money? Well, we should live in financial freedom. We should earn our money honestly. We should give our money generously. We should spend our money wisely, and we should invest it carefully. Those are really the only four things you can do with money. Earn it, give it, spend it, invest it. The one I highlighted in red is investment. You should have investment money as an individual. We as a church should have money that we're investing, not just in CDs. We should be investing money in the next life. One of the challenges of Scripture that my daughter and I really don't like is that there are rewards in heaven, and there are degrees in heaven. There are degrees in hell. Now, Monica and I do not like that. We don't. Some people are going to be punished more in hell than others. I don't like that, but that's the way it's going to be. And it really, in the military, a lot of times, DJ, you don't like what they tell you to do. But you do it anyway. Right? And it's the same way. So we got to invest. The financial picture of the church. We own our parsonage church property. We also happen to have Camp Adeline. We have money in CDs. We have expenses. We have giving income. And we invest in our denomination, Camp Adeline, and missionaries. What I'm going to talk today about is those last two. What we're giving financially, and then what we're investing in missionaries. Here, I want you to follow the money trail with me. You ever heard that, follow the money trail? They do that all the time. You follow the money, you find out. Here we go. We take a gross amount of money that's given every week. We subtract our missions money from that. We subtract our building fund money from that. And then we give the denomination 3.5 of the balance. So the reality is mission money and building money is like tax-free money. We invest in the denomination, 3.5% of what's left. But here's the factual side of it. The more money we give in missions, the less we do there. We still give them a fair percentage. That's what they ask for, right? So it's like tax-free money. If you make a gift that's directed by a notation, and when Lori and Deb count all that up, if you give it to missions, it goes directly to there, 100%. If you give it to the new kitchen, the parsonage that we're working on, if you give it to those, it goes directly to there. You can give it to whatever you want. There's a whole bunch of different areas, and you probably have to talk to Deb and Lori to get all of those factually straight, which would be a really good thing to do. But you can give directly where you want to. And then I said in July, on an upcoming Sunday, I'll give you a missions report. Ta-da! It's here. So, here's what we plan to invest in December of 2005 for 2006. We guessed, we projected our 2000 income in giving would be around 54,000. That's what we guessed it would be. And about 10 grand, 97 of that, we projected as mission money. We originally projected about 18% of what came in. In a biblical ideal world, you'd want to be above 10% and around 25 or 30% giving in a biblical ideal. So we kind of split the difference, ended up around 19. We budgeted for Camp Adeline $1,200 to help campers. If kids wanted to go to camp, we volunteered. We pay half of their camp fees, which interestingly enough, we were the only people who sent people to camp. Right, girls? And we also budgeted to support Camp Adeline for $3,000 to their general fund, which is something Lori and I are talking about because we said that, but we budgeted for local missions, $500 to do VBS. We also budgeted for Macau, China, $2,500 for Jana Hubler. Jana's folks are in the Rockford Church, and we basically said, you know, $200 a month, we'll support you. Plus, you know, a little spending extra, you know, give her an extra $100 just for pin money. $2,500 to go. Miriam Prabhakar was from our Rock River Conference, and she has a vital work going on in India. And we said we'll give her $200 a month, $2,500 a year. We also budgeted the 3.5 for our denomination after the deductions. We also took on that cute little Jamie Fiedler, who's working for Food for the Hungry. By the way, Julie put a Uganda letter on her on the bulletin board. Or actually, I did it yesterday, and she straightened it today, so it looks nice. But Jamie wants to go to Uganda, which is really close to my heart. I was getting out of the shower this morning, and I said, that is a whole lot better than a bucket in Africa. When we were in Uganda, I used to take showers on a flat rock out of a bucket, have hot water coming out of the wall. Jamie's going to Uganda. She believes that's where God's calling her. We're supporting her for this year for $100 a month, $1,200. So, what have we invested so far? As of September, Camp Adeline, we spent $315 to help campers. That's out of the $1,200 that we had budgeted. So we kind of under budget on that one, but we were hoping for more Camp Adeline. Camp Adeline's general fund, we're still going to get that done, I think. Lori and I want to make sure that what our paperwork say is what the rest of the board said about that. But we'll probably cut them a check. Missions, local missions, VBS, we put in $500 that GFO is Good Friday offering. That's it. Get that higher. We had Good Friday offering here. We took up another $110 and we gave that. So for local missions, we gave $610 towards Vacation Bible School. So we're over budget on that one. We also paid Jana the $25, Miriam the $25. Jamie's, we gave her an offer. We actually gave Jamie $14, so she's a little over. Always want to give the girls just a little bit extra, you know, take care of the girls. We have, so far, according to Lori and I's figures, we've given to the denomination a little over $1,000, $11 over. Katrina, several of us went to work on that Katrina trip down there. You guys generously gave $700 and some odd to their free store. Do you remember that when we went in February? I took them this check for $700 and I showed you the pictures of the few things they had on the store one day. And then by the end of the week, the volume of stuff, when they went out and spent the $700 and some odd you gave them, you invested like $1,300 in Katrina. Recently, we gave Jessica Douglas $300. She's got a cute little picture on that bulletin board down there. She is another one of the ones that are dealing with these devastating diseases without the financial aid. So we gave to that. What else have we done? Gideon's, we gave $100. And when DJ and the Milledgeville Choir came, we sent $100 to them. And Lori and I kind of wrestled around with these. You know, well, Gideon's, $100, the choir. But they're all nonprofit things that we invested in, which is kind of goodwill. When you only give them $100, it's kind of goodwill in today's. Anyway, so that's kind of where we're going. So far in September, at the end of September, our church giving is $34,000. We guessed it was going to be $54,000, so there's 2 months left, November, December, right? So that's only, what, $5,000 a month? That's not bad. $10,000 a month. Oh, we got October, November, and December. So that gets it down to $7,000 a month. This is what we've invested so far. Out of the 34 and change, we've done 10 in missions. So when you do the math on that, I think the percentage is 34%. Almost, it's over 30% of the regular income that comes into us that we give in missions. Yet, in all situations, ask Jules, you got to check my math. But I actually did it twice. Jules went over it once. So, oh, you didn't go over that. So, questions in conclusion. What do you believe God is saying to us about our mission investing? When you look at the numbers, how many of you, that's the first time you had any idea what the numbers were that we do? Yep. That's what I figured. I'm going to do this on a more regular basis. But I think it should be an encouragement to us that, is the money part doing pretty good? Are we doing pretty good with the money? If the biblical ideals are 10 to 30%, and we're just a little bit over 30%, how do you think we're doing on the money? Hey, I think the Lord would say, good job. Well done, good and faithful stewards. In our Christian culture, the majority of the money that comes into a church is not sent to missions. The majority of the money that comes into a church is spent on making our life easier and more fun. That's just the cold, hard facts of our culture. And if you look around, you'll see that's true. Look at any church budget. If you find another one that's given 35% of what comes in to missions, I'd say that's a good church. But most of the money that comes in is to build edifices and facilities and stuff to make our life more fun. Which is okay. If you got the money, go for it. You know, if we could still give 30% and do a lot of that stuff, I'd be in. I'd be up for it. In an ideal world, I'd like to give half of everything that I get. In an ideal world, I'd like to be able to give it all. I'm just not that faithful of a guy. I don't have the guts to do exactly what Jesus called the young ruler to do. Sell it all. Give it all. I don't have the guts. I'm working at it. I may get there before I'm dead. But I haven't got it yet. As I lead you, I want to lead you in this pattern. We want to give to missions. We want to give a lot. Now then, we're doing a good job. What do you think God's challenge is to us? If we're doing a good job with the money, what do you suppose God would challenge us with? Should we just sit back and say, we're doing good in missions. We're giving 35% of our money to missions. Is that what he'd say? Here's what the scriptures showed us this week. Isaiah 65. The Lord said, I was ready to answer my people's prayers. They did not pray. I was ready for them to find me. They didn't even try. The nation did not pray to me, even though I was ready to answer. Here I am. I will help you. I've always been ready to welcome my people who stubbornly do what's wrong and go their own way. Here's the challenge. Are we doing pretty good with the money? Can you agree? We're doing pretty good with the money. Okay. Great. Praise God, we're doing good. Now then, what about praying for missionaries? How are we doing at our personal prayer life for missionaries? I would be embarrassed to tell you the percentage of time if I put a number up there that I spend in any week praying for missions. I would honestly be embarrassed. Would you like anybody to know your numbers of how many hours, how many tears you've shed for the lost this week? Would you like that to be on the big screen? No. I wouldn't either. Here's the truth. I'm going to change that. I have the choice. I can change. As I'm working on 2007, you know what the goal is for 2007 for our church? Life change. That's the goal. At the end of 2007, my life has changed from the way it is today. One of the goals that I'm going to set, it's a realistic goal that I can do, is praying and crying for missionaries and lost people. What about you? Is that doable? I mean, is that a goal you can set? You can look at the end of the week and you can qualify and quantify how you did. A goal that you can't qualify and quantify is just a desire. And desires are really cool. But is that a goal that you could actually change? So, does God want my money or does He want a relationship? What's He want? If He gets the relationship, He'll get the money. I had no idea that when I married Jules that she was going to end up with a checkbook. I didn't think that through, gentlemen. But you know what? When you get the girl, she gets the money. Isn't that the way it goes? It's the same way with God. When He gets your heart, when you get in a relationship with Him, you're going to give Him the money. But what does He want more? Think about it. Is He more pleased with our 35% money giving, or would He be more pleased if our hearts were really called to Him in prayer? When I led you in that offering message, the men would actually pray. Men would actually get on their knees and cry for the lost, would diligently pray. That's the guy I want to become. Am I there yet? No, ma'am. No, sir. But that's the direction I'm going. You guys gave me a nice award, nice card, nice little travel communion thing, which is really cool because God's calling me to go make disciples. No more sitting in my office and letting them come to me. I got to go. But I'm going to pray more this week than I did last week. And I'm going to remember to do that the week after. And I'm going to remind you and challenge you periodically. See, when Jesus says, go make disciples, he phrases it like this. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would give you laborers. Isn't that it? Isn't that the way it says? It's not doing it. It's not doing the work of missionary work. It's praying, it's being in harmony with God and being a missionary. That's what he wants us to be. So, God's calling me to pray for missions. Is he calling you? Is God calling me? You got to read that one for yourself. I've already shared with you. Now, is God calling me, which in your case is not Wilmer, it's... Is he calling you to go? I believe so. If you're in this building, I think so. That's probably why we're here today. To be a missionary. Not do missionary stuff. Be one. Today at the Oktoberfest party, be a missionary. Tomorrow at the office, be a missionary. At Walmart on Wednesday, I was asking a pastor recently about, hey, what do you do about visitation? He said, oh, I just go to Walmart. I meet more people at Walmart than are ever home when I knock on the door. I hadn't really thought about it, but maybe I'll be a missionary to Walmart. They definitely need prayer. No pun intended. But I'm challenging you to go be a missionary. Now, I, as your pastor, as an anointed man of God, which is really weird to tell people, I'm a man of God. It's really what I am. As God's ambassador, I'm challenging you to pray. I'm challenging you to go. That's what I'm going to work on in my life. And anybody who really knows me says, oh, yeah, that boy could use some work, right? But I'm challenging you to go with me. Follow me in that. Jules sat through The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King last night. She doesn't really like that. She bought it for me at a garage sale, and I sat and watched it last night. And she says, oh, there's so much of the goblins and the bad guys and all the chopping and the hacking. But you know what I like about that movie? I like it when the king says, they didn't come when we asked for their help. Why should we go when they asked for our help? And when they ask for help, he says, we'll go. We'll go die for our friends that wouldn't. I like that guy. I like that guy. And when the guy was surrounded by the bad guys, and he's got this big, beautiful sword, and he turns to his friends and he says, let's go for so-and-so. And he leads them into a charge into certain death. And I tell Jules, how can guys do that? How can men follow men like that? I don't know. I don't know how they do it, DJ. I just know that sometimes you do. Can I tell you how to do it? No. Can I tell you I want to be one of those guys that lead you in prayer and lead you in a deep heart's concern for the lost that are going to hell if you and I don't? Can God save them? Is he the Lord of the harvest? Can he do it without us? Absolutely. He set up this system. He says, I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest that I would send laborers. And I want you to be willing to go. And that's what I'm challenging you with today. And I'm telling you that when we go, the same thing that Dwight Edwards is telling, the same thing that Neil Andrews is telling, God not only made us those people, he empowered us to be those people, he sent us the resources to be those people. And that's the direction we're going.